Well, hey, good morning, family. And let's all stand together as we lift our voices and praise the Lord.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief.
Come on, you sing.
I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a
I'm
right, well, good morning, family. I got a couple of quick announcements for you. First, we have, I believe it's, oh, yeah, the food one is first. Mm-hmm, you know, when we see food on the screen, it's a good day. Okay, April 13th, everyone's going to be here, 11:30. We're going to go down to the gym and have a pancake breakfast before the amazing extravaganza, just as we start to kick off our celebration for Resurrection Day season. So please do mark that in your calendars, because if you don't, I'm gaining 15 pounds, just letting you know. And then we have the Tomeys coming to visit. We are still looking for a host family. Correct me on these dates. I believe it is April 30th through March the 5th, or not March the 5th, April. It's in the newsletter. I'm getting it wrong. Anyway, I meant to bring the paper. So please do check out your newsletter. Contact the church office so you can get in touch with Lori and volunteer to join and be a host family for the Tomeys. We're looking for people to help with meals, lodging, and with transportation. So we'd love if we would, as a family, be a family and help out with that. Amen? Amen. If you missed anything, make sure you grab your newsletter, email Lori so you can get a copy of it. You can be seated now because we have something really exciting. We have some baptisms.
Good morning, church family. Who here has a job? Raise your hand if you got a job. All right, on your job, you probably have good days and bad days. I have a job too. I got a couple of them. I want you to know that today is a good day to have the job as a pastor, because we are going to celebrate, and I get the front row seat, and you guys are right there in the second row, effectively. We get to celebrate something that Jesus Christ is doing in our midst through the faithfulness of a couple of families, the faithfulness and the abundance of the ministries that we all support with our prayer, with our tithes, with our time. And so we are going to tell a couple of stories of two young men. Two young men are going to come down here, and they are going to tell what Jesus has done in their life. And we're going to celebrate it through what Jesus commanded us to do through this gift of baptism, this multi-sensory gift where a young man is going to symbolically, we're going to rehearse something that Jesus has already done in their hearts. They are going to go below the water. They're going to die to their old self, something that already has happened in the heavens by the grace of God. And then we will see symbolically the new man emerge from the water. So the old will be gone. The new has come. We're going to be celebrating something that Jesus is not only doing in our midst today, but I want you to think generationally as you see these two young men baptized today. So what we've been studying in Ephesians for the past several weeks in particular, I want you to think about the fact that these two young men, Lord willing, are one day husbands and leaders of their family. And because of what God is celebrating, what we are celebrating, what God has done in their lives, there are families in waiting, there are children in waiting, wives in waiting, that will be picking the fruit of what Jesus is growing in their hearts for the rest of their lives. So this is worth our excitement. This is worth our applause. Will you give Mr. Temi Adeyemo a hand as he comes on down? So meet Mr. Temi. Temi, you're 14, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, tall, handsome, articulate. Just you wait. That's not going to work. Now you're taller than me. No, that's not fair. I got you by a couple inches for like one more year. Mr. Temi's 14 years old. I need you to hang on every word of this testimony, both of them today. This is articulate. This is a story of something that God is doing. Temi today is joined by his family. You guys probably know the Adeyemos. First of all, Temi is not his full name. We practice it. We practice it back there. It's Temi Lewua. Temi Lewua Adeyemo. Are you proud of me? It took a lot of rehearsing. Temi Lewua Adeyemo, and he's got three siblings here, and Mom Bemi and Gemi, who are in the little bit back there. Wait, raise your hand, guys. We love them. Got to get them. They've been with us. They've been with us a couple of years, and we are so grateful for their presence and really just the purposefulness that Mom and Dad are going about discipling their kids. So I've done way too much talking. We want to hear from you, Mr. Temi. He's going to read to you. He's going to read to you nice and slow and loud. He promises. Ready? Okay, over to you, brother.
Hello, everyone. My name is Temi Adeyemo, and I am 14 years old. Today, I'd like to share my faith journey with you all. Growing up, I was raised in a Christian household, surrounded by God, the Bible, and the church. Even my name means God is mine. Growing up, I experienced many things that made me question God and wonder if he had a plan for my life. I experienced a tonic-clonic seizure, and nearly cut off my tongue at age 3, a non-consensual and unexpected kiss from a female classmate during recess in 3rd grade resulted in me suffering from orbital cellulitis and nearly losing my eyesight, and more recently, an emergency visit to the ER on Christmas Eve. However, my doubt in God culminated in the summer of last year after losing access to a program I was sure would aid me in my career path. Now realizing that God has saved me from bad influences and potential violence, I turned my back on him in a fit of unreasonable rage and vowed never again to have anything to do with him. Instead, opting to make good moral character the focus and end goal of my life, and regrettably vowed the same for my future children. As I became more open and receptive to the unbelieving, atheistic filth of this world. However, no matter how much I tried to convince myself that good moral savior was my character, life without belief in a higher power felt fundamentally sad and hopeless. If this world, with all the struggle and pain, was all there is to life, then what was the point of good works if it didn't assure me of what was to come, of what was to become of me beyond death? Quickly, I caught on that human logic always naturally found loopholes in which to justify sin, which in turn produced an endless cycle of sin. Eventually, I unburdened myself from my unreasonable rage towards God and came to terms with my situation, being that I was suppressing a natural human desire for something beyond this world because of my rage towards God, for whom all people, from Richard Dawkins to Billy Graham, consciously or unconsciously long for. Simply put, the human soul was not designed for the physical world alone. God placed a longing for the spiritual world that cannot be suppressed. With this foundational God-given truth, I determined right there and then that leaving God wouldn't truly make me happy. It would only aggravate my irrepressible longing for him. No further explanation needed, I reconciled myself back to God, expressing my raw grief and regret for my rebellion towards him and pleading for his forgiveness. Today, March 30th, is a public declaration of that inward and eternal change in my life. Finally, thank you, Pastor Chris and my parents, for praying for my salvation. It was not in vain.
Man. This young man had a heart, or had the first stirrings in his heart to be baptized maybe about 6 months ago. And he was in the middle of that wrestling match that he was confessing and just expressing to you. And I've had a chance to talk to him at length several times in the intermediate period. And Timmy, this, you could have been at the SDR conference last week. This is a masterpiece of expressing what God has done in your life. Young man, are you ready to declare in the presence of 300 plus people who love the Lord that you are with them, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Timmy, do you have a confidence because of the finished work of Jesus Christ that you will stand before him one day forgiven?
Yes.
Do you trust that Jesus has a gracious heart towards you and will usher you into the presence of the Father one day?
Yes.
Then it is time to be baptized, young man. You want to do it?
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. So, Mr. Adeyemo, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you are hereby buried with him in baptism. And you are raised to walk in the newness of life. And never gets old. So now we have another life to celebrate. It is the life and the work that God is doing in the heart of Caden Hall. Can you give Mr. Caden a hand as he comes on down? So shout out to both of these families, laminated testimonies. All right? We are not messing around. Both from the initiatives of I would assume, mom and dad. Is that right, Caden? Or no, it was okay. Mom's pretty squared away. Okay, so Caden, you have been part of our family, our church family here, for, I think you've mentioned in your testimony, for about 3+ years now, 4 years going on?
3 years.
3 years, okay. And Caden, Temi is homeschooled, but you are a student here at Perry Hall Christian, and that is part of your story as well, right? And you're going to mention it a couple of times, but there is a man in the audience who's sitting really close to us that you're pretty grateful for, right? Yeah, what's his name? This guy right here. Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Kenny.
Mr. Kenny, yeah, influential. And so I am grateful to Kenny, too, for just the discipling influence that he has had in Caden's life. Caden, this is your story. Nice and slow, brother. Let him know what God's doing.
Hi, everyone. If you don't already know me, my name is Caden Hall. I'm in ninth grade at Perry Hall Christian School, and this is my fourth year attending the school. My family and I have been attending this church for around 3 years now. I'm so grateful today to be baptized in front of my friends and family. Thank you for all the support you have given me on my journey in my Christian walk. I would like to tell you how I got here today. Before I got saved, I always lived in a Christian household, but we didn't really know who God was. All I knew is that he died for me and that Christmas celebrates him. Little did I know, there was a lot more. I started attending the school, just hoping to do well and get good grades. The class that intrigued me, though, was Bible class. What if I get called on and say something wrong? What if I don't know the answer? I was stressed out because I never knew the God of the Bible and didn't want to embarrass myself. I started learning things in that class, and my faith started growing every day. I started to really like the Bible and found out there was a youth group that was on our campus. That's when I started going to Bonfire. I really liked the messages being taught at Bonfire and eventually got pretty close to the speaker, Mr. Kenny. He recommended that I go to Student Life Camp. I was excited because I've never done an overnight camp before. Little did I know, it would change my life. Camp was centered around the idea of revival. I walked into camp thinking the sins I carried were too much of a burden to be forgiven, and the idea of revival seemed foreign to me. But the pastor said that if we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, basically that we love him, we will be saved. On the fourth night of camp, I cried out to God, "God, I need you right now. My sins are heavy, and I need help. I love you, Jesus, and I confess you are my Savior. I love you more than anything, God, and I need to be forgiven. I want to be revived. I hope that you will accept me." I woke up the next day in a better emotional place. I felt lighter, like my sins were taken off of me. My friends supported me and didn't care how heavy my sin was. Instead, they seemed excited for that I got saved. Mr. Kenny was beyond excited. He helped me figure out a way to tell my parents that I had a new relationship with Jesus, and he helped me through a lot of things after. I was still dealing with the death of a good role model, and I was still sad about it. But Mr. Kenny helped me by praying for me almost every time I saw him. I was doing great. God gave me a time of joy, with no pain, no suffering, but God was calling me to a deeper place. I recently found out that I was born with a genetic disorder called CAH, which is an early production of hormones. I didn't truly understand what it was, but I found out that I matured at an early age and my growth plates were already closed, implying that I can't grow anymore. I tried to hide my feelings about it, but it didn't work that much. My parents found out that I was sad about it and that I questioned God sometimes. I questioned if he was even there, and it hurt. Over time, I started praying about it and started to read my Bible, and I got over it. I realized that God made me in a way that is perfect to him, and that is all I needed to hear. I was happy that I am perfect in the eyes of my Creator. In the future, I want to preach the gospel to people that don't know Jesus. I look to serve God in everything that I do. I'm getting baptized today because I am a true follower of Jesus. I thank God for everything he has done for me. He died for me when I didn't deserve it. He washed away my sins. He made me whole again. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." That verse says we are saved by our faith towards God and the grace of God. But we are not saved, but rather pulled down by our works. Our works pull us away from God because they do not serve him. It is his work on the cross that saves us. Today, I get baptized in the name of Jesus, and I can't thank him enough for everything he has done for me. Thank you all for supporting me on my journey.
Pastor Dave, I think our job is done today, right? This is good stuff. This is good stuff. And something that I am especially proud of with this young man is that, of course, there's a little bit of coaching along the way, but I could say the same thing about Temi. These are Caden's words. Something really genuine and transformational is going on in this young man's life, and I cannot wait to see
what God does. Kaden, you got some people here today that we want to just give a shout out to, right? So you got mom and dad, Alexis and Mike, and some friends, family. You got a couple of young friends from your neighborhood as well. And so grateful for your support, guys. Can you let the hand up? Hand up there, yeah. And so they've been with us. You guys have been with us for several years at this point, and we are grateful for you. Mom and Dad serve with Kenny along the bonfire, and are seeing getting to see other lives change as well. So, Kaden, enough chatting. Let's make this official, right? A day that you're going to remember for the rest of your life, right? A day that we celebrate a transformation. Okay. So, Kaden, who are you trusting in for the forgiveness of your sins?
Jesus.
And because of that, do you expect one day to be welcomed into His presence?
Yes.
Is He a good person? Good Savior.
Yes.
Yes, He is. And He is yours. And so because of that, we are going to be baptized. And so take my arm here. Kaden Hall, I baptize you, look at me, brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are hereby buried with Him in baptism. And you are raised to walk in the newness of life. Doesn't get any better than that. We are going to stand up and sing a couple more songs. Sing loud for Jesus.
Well, that's cool. As I like to say all the time, and I think I speak safely for Pastor Dave and Pastor Chris, like that's why we come to work. We get to see the Lord do some really awesome things. It's nothing special that we do, but we get to see the Lord do some really awesome things, especially when it's in the hearts of young people. Can we praise the Lord together one more time? Because He is good. All right. Let's continue to lift our voices together. Let's remind ourselves of some truth of Scripture, some truth of who our God is.
believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes. We do believe in the name of Jesus. I just want to share a quick thought with you, David. In Psalm 145, verse 4, says something really cool. It says, one generation will commend your works, the works of God, to another generation. And so it's cool when you get to stand on this side and I get to see so many different families and so many different ages represented in the room. And so we just heard two testimonies of two families where a faithful generation shared some things, commended some things to a younger generation. We, as a church family, want to faithfully commend the works of God to the younger generation. And then we get to see the fruit of that, like what we just got to see. And so I want to encourage you, family, as you sing this morning, we're going to sing one more song. We're going to declare the faithfulness of God. This morning, I want to encourage you that you are, even as you sing loud, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, that you are commending the works of God, even through this act of worship, through singing. You are commending the works of God to another generation. And that we pray that that commendation, God's word says that commendation will not return void. We'll be faithful to continue to commend God's works to the next generation. So we're going to sing one more time this morning, just of the faithfulness of God, of how he's worthy to be trusted, how we've seen him work generation to generation, time after time. We can reference back to the Old Testament. We can see it in our daily life. So let's commend his works one more time together. Let's sing out our praise to the Lord. Let's do it.
God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart burn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to faithfulness to me. From
this morning as we prepare to hear your word and just continue our time together as a family, fellowshipping, Lord, giving, loving each other, and Lord, gathering around the scripture. Lord, we just pray that you would instill in us again a remembrance of your great faithfulness to us. Lord, sometimes it gets really hard to remember how faithful you are. So, Lord, I just pray this morning that you would bring to mind memories, bring to mind stories in scripture, bring to mind just truths of your word about who you are that would help us to rest in your faithfulness. Help these songs to be great reminders that cement in our hearts. Lord, we just pray that you bless our time together for the rest of this morning. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. And kids, you are dismissed. Good seeing y'all this morning.
Good morning, everyone. You're probably thinking that was already so much fun. What has he got to say? Well, I can't say much better than those young men. And this, we've heard two sermons already, and I have just a small one that will be a celebration of the church. Before we do that, we're going to read some scripture together. We actually have a missions moment. You're one of the men of the Adder. You come right on here, buddy. I like that. I think he's still in shock. We're going to read scripture. Then we're going to have a missions moment. So please turn in your Bibles to Romans 12. Romans 12. I was going to do the missions moment first, but I think I want to read the primary passage that we will be in this morning to prepare us for the missions moment. So today's scripture again is from Romans chapter 12. I will pick up and read ultimately verses 1 to 13. Let's do that together now. I will read it. Just follow along in your Bibles. Romans 12, 1 to 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let me read 13 again and then we'll talk about our opportunity today. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Perry Hall Baptist Church for, I guess, 60, maybe six or seven decades, has been a church that has been characterized by a heart for world missions and a heart for local missions. World missions, with dozens of missionaries we support and pray for and care for around the world. And missions here, both in our local outreach to our community, through Perry Hall Christian School, through ministries we partner with. This church has a heart for world missions. From time to time, we have taken we often take moments to recognize our ministries, our missionaries. We have missions moments. As you can see, we even have the Tomes coming back at the end of April and into May. But we, from time to time, have, in addition to our giving as a church congregation, a large chunk of what you give goes to world missions and to our missionaries. But from time to time, we take up a special offering because the missions team and the elders believe that we have the right moment, the right opportunity to contribute to the needs of the church globally and to our missionaries. A few years ago, you'll remember, even thinking of the Tomes, we all took up a collection and were able to buy them a new van. You remember that? That was wonderful. And then even more recently, and we've been doing this for decades, but even more recently, we were able to help Brian and Chris Davidson start off a brand new ministry over in Ghana. And you all showed up and you gave. By the way, we're giving in ways that are just beautiful as a church. This would be a special opportunity. So today I want to show a video in just a minute to show you a little bit about what's going on in Italy, in a little place called Campobasso in Molise, Italy. This is where Heidi and Rayan Gudison minister and have been for many years. Heidi and Rayan minister there, started a church in 2008. I think it officially started in 2009. This little place, this Campobasso, is about 2 hours east of Rome, and that's the capital city in Molise, Italy. And they started a church in 2008, and the Lord has blessed. They have been through many, many hardships, health, spiritual battles, spiritual warfare, and the Lord continues to bless them. So I would like you to watch a little video, just a 3-minute video, about the Gudisons are going to share from their heart, and then we're going to make a few comments of how we can help them. So listen as we hear their hearts.
Hello, Perry Hall Baptist Church. I'm Rayan.
And I'm Heidi.
And we just want to say thank you for your faithful support with what God is doing in Italy. All these 20 years that we've been here. And what a privilege to partner with you.
And thank you now that we can share with you this project for buying a church building for La Fonte. It's something that's been on our hearts for many years. There's been a lot of searching, a lot of praying, a lot of waiting. And now we have found a building that we feel is a good fit for our church.
Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done.
The La Fonte Church was founded in 2008 when a group of us started to meet in houses, reading the Bible, praying together. And in 2009, the first family came to faith, and then they decided to be baptized. In 2010, we started to rent the first premise. And then since then, we've grown out of 3 premises. God has faithfully added people to the church today, even though it doesn't sound like much. But being in the south of Italy, we're very encouraged to be a group of 50, 60 people. Our aim is just to love God, to love people, and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ.
We see this new building that we're trying to buy as a tool, something that the church will use to be a witness In our area, the city itself is about 50,000 people, and it's the capital of the region of Melissa, which is 300,000 people. As a church, we believe that we should be active in our communities. That's something that we've tried to do from the very beginning, and that's something that we plan to continue, but now in a bigger area. So that's we have collaboration with social services, so we can go into group homes and do ministry, kids events, youth, and we hope in this new location to be able to begin mothers and toddlers groups, something with the elderly, and even more outreach to the immigrants and the refugees. At the church, we also have a care closet and food bank, and that will move with us to this new location. And we have a lot of requests for help, and there's a lot of need in that area.
Thank you for considering being a part of what God is doing in this very needy region, to reach out through this project to reach more people for Christ with the gospel.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. But because of what you've done, not because of
what I've done. The little capital city that they're in Melissa, is about 50,000, and then the area is about 300,000. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about their church. The name of the church is La Fonte Church. Again, they started in 2008, 2009, and their desire is now to have their own building. Folks, one of the great, great blessings of a church like Perry Hall, where we pray and support missionaries, is when we get an opportunity to partner to plant another church. And that's what this family has been doing. As a matter of fact, a sign of successful churches is that they take a part in planting more churches. This building cost $290,000. That's pretty good, actually. The income through tithes in this church, let me say this, is $1,200 a month. They have 50 to 60 members. Most are immigrants and refugees. They have saved, as a church, $120,000 of that money so far as a church. $1,200 a month, and the Lord is blessing them. Through other churches so far, and through some grants and some small financing, they have made it all the way to where they're only $40,000 short of that $290,000. So of that $40,000, and let me just give you a picture. The Gudasins have been doing this for a long time. Heidi is actually the daughter of the Rasmussens, JJ and Kathy, and at one time a student, Heidi, here at Perry Hall Christian School, as they were home on furlough at different times. This family has been a key family for us over many years. But they're down to $40,000. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray about it. We're going to ask you to pray about it the next Sunday and the following Sunday and all that time in between. We are asking you to prayerfully consider if you would like to give as part of what we're trying to do for the Gudasins and to be able to purchase this church property. You can do it online. You can do a check in the boxes that are either at the sides of the entrances right here or in the back. Here's the really cool part. The missions team has been able to allocate, because of their good stewardship and some other things we didn't do this year, $10,000 coming from the missions fund. $10,000. In addition to that, whatever we give, and I will tell you, the missions team is fully vested. One of our missions team member who cares for them is also giving directly. Whatever we do here, in addition to that $10,000, because of people that love missions and love Perry Hall Baptist Church, a missions trust called the Joint Heirs in Christ has said whatever we give over the next 2 weeks, they will double. Whatever we give, they will double. So the question is, how close will we get to funding the rest of this church plant, La Fonte Church? So I pray that you will join me in praying that God will make it clear what we all should give, The church is jumping in a pretty big way, and let's see how close we can get to Gudesons to finishing this project so they can continue to serve, to make disciples, to care for people, and to practice what we're going to preach today. Let's pray. Father, this is your work. This is not our doing. Father, they mentioned a very similar mission that we share here at Perry Hall, as Rayan said, to love God and to love people and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, that is in many ways the same mission that all churches have, to love you, to love one another, to love our neighbor and lost people. Father, we want to join them in whatever way we can to be a part of this exciting new day in the history of La Fonte Church. Father, may you open up hearts and wallets with a desire to grow your kingdom in this part of Italy. And we pray, Father, that you would be glorified to do something special. Thank you for the funds you have already given to us through your faithful people that have supported them for so many years, and for the excess funds in this sense that we're able to give this large chunk again this time. Father, may you allow us to see that giving is worship and that our giving is designed with the intent to spread the mission that people would know Christ, the mission he was sent on, the mission we have been given to see disciples who make disciples. Father, bless them. Father, protect them. They have had so many challenges physically, mentally, emotionally. Father, even in their family, some of the struggles with children. Father, would you bless them? Father, would you bless Rayan and Heidi, Trisha, Megan, Emma, and Noah, their children. Father, in different stages of their journey, would you work in their family? May you work in such a way that it is unmistakably you. And I pray, Father, that they would be blessed and that they would achieve this goal to have a physical church location that will become another bright, loud outpost of the gospel for the glory of God. As we open up your word again, Father, give us wisdom even as we search the scriptures to see what we might find. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Excited to see what God is doing in different parts of the world. And we'll hear more again from the Tomes in a month. And that will be as exciting as well. I was reading to you from Romans chapter 12. Before we go there, I want you to flip back. By the way, isn't it interesting that the letter that the Lord has us in today is Rome. And we're thinking of Italy and the church in Italy. Ephesians 5, briefly. We have finished our study of God's design for marriage. Thank you for the testimonies and words of thanksgiving and praise that as you experience God speaking to you in your life and in your marriage. But I wanted you to see just two verses before we go back to Romans and tell you from the outset that I only really want to do one thing today. I want to talk about loving his bride. Very simple. Loving his bride. You can see from your notes, he loves his bride. We love his bride. This picks back up on husbands loving their wives, because how we love our wives is a picture of how Christ loves the church. Verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives. And we're focused not on the picture, but on the reality here, the church, Christ and his bride. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she may be holy and without blemish. This is a picture in part of the love Christ has for his bride. Now let me just say, give a question to start. Do you individually Do you love his bride? Now think about that. Do you love his bride, his church? We're going to come back to that at the end and ask the question again. And we're going to see what it looks like. But before we do, let's think about this. This passage from Ephesians was about husbands and wives and loving one another as Christ loved the church, with our priority love as to Christ, and the outflow of that is how we love our husbands and wives. And then last week we said there's a profound mystery, and that mystery was that the marriage is designed to be a picture of the reality of Christ's love for his bride. And so that was what we said last week, that the marriage is really all about Christ. Today, though, we move on. And we not only talk about it's Christ and his bride, that he loves his bride, and so do we. Now, I'm going to just jump ahead time-wise and give you a couple pictures here. If we love the church, and in particular, let's just make it personal, if we love the church at Perry Hall, should our love professed look the same as his love for the bride? The answer is yes. The way we love here at Perry Hall should look like the way he loves his bride. And the other side of that, which may sound negative, if you don't love the church, you do not love like Christ loved. Now, there's a couple applications right off the bat. How often do you come to the church you love? How much do you serve at the church you love? How much do you give the church you love? How much do you sacrifice for the church you love? We got a testimony that came in after this series on marriage. And we finished the series on this idea that it's all about Christ, and the way that we love one another as families and as marriages, as husband and wives, becomes a testimony to everybody watching of the glorious gospel. In other words, your marriages, your families are a picture of the reality of his love. And so when people see love in a home, love in a marriage, love with a mom, love with a dad, how they treat their kids, and all that is a testimony to a watching world. I got a testimony from one of our members. It was so sweet. She said she was going to church. She had not been saved and maybe just gotten recently saved. And she was attending church and her husband was not a believer. And she said through those difficult times, she would go to church and one by one, God would give her a glimpse into a couple or a family sitting in the church with her. And over the days and the months and the years, she would see the image of Christ and his church in those families. And it started to change her perspective, not because her marriage was perfect, but because of God's marriage to his bride being perfect, being on display. In other words, as you look around, you're meant to rejoice even when your marriage is struggling, that yes, God still is saying something in both the good and the struggling marriages. He is saying something about himself. And for this woman, that was reassuring and encouraging and was putting her eyes on Christ even in the middle of praying for God to save her husband. Guess what? God saved her husband. And they got to enjoy that together for the remaining years there. What a testimony. Christ, first point, I think it says, Christ loves his church. Real quick, we use the terms to describe Christ's love for the church by saying a husband loves his wife this way. But those terms were the way Christ loves his church. We said he loves sacrificially. He gave his life. He died for the church. Ephesians 5:2, Ephesians 5:25, he gave himself up, he died for the church. Sacrificial, sanctifying, he is working to change the church. That's all of us collectively, individually too. He's changing us, he's sanctifying us, he's making us more and more like Jesus. That's the sanctifying love of Christ. Sacrificial, sanctifying. A serving love. Jesus came not to be served, Mark 10:45, but to serve. Love that serves, that puts others first. And then finally, it was a splendor-making love, and that love was to make the bride, the church, beautiful. And I wonder how often when you describe the church to your friends, do you describe the church as beautiful? As a matter of fact, folks, I think we've got to be very careful in how we describe the church. When you talk about the church to friends and to family, what does that look like? Do you describe the church as flawed as the bride may be, still with remaining sin, imperfect yet? But do you describe it as the beautiful bride that is being changed to become more like him? Sacrificial love, sanctifying love, serving love, splendor-making love. Let me just give you a few more, and then we're going to move to the main point. How about a sure love, a sure love? Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never, no, never leave you. This is a kind of love that Christ has for us as a church, that he will not leave the job undone. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will what? Be faithful to complete it. The love that Christ has for his church will be finished. It's not only a sure love, a guaranteed love, but it's also this hopeful love, because Christ sees it as already done. In Romans 8:30, he uses past tense and says, we're already glorified. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, he says, you've been washed. Washed, past tense. That is what has happened to you. It's a hopeful kind of love. This love that Christ is not only a sure love, it's a searching love. Remember in Luke 15, verses 4 to 7, what does the shepherd do when one of the hundred leaves? He leaves the 99 and he goes and searches for the one. Folks, this is just a small picture of how much he loves us. Now, if he loves us that much, let me say this again. Do you love the church like he does? And before you answer and say, oh, I do, Pastor, I love the church, what's the evidence? Now, point two, we love the church. When I say we love the church, I am speaking of believers in Jesus Christ loving what he loves, namely the bride. Let me say it a different way. 1 John 3:14, we read last week. A sign of your love for the church, your love for the church is a test of your authentic faith. You can't run around and say, I hate the church, but I love God. Doesn't work. But more than that, there's over 50 one another's of how we're to love one another. You can't do that forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. You must do it in community. So point number two takes us to Romans 12. Romans 12, where we started. Now we're only going to focus in on verses 9 to 13. Romans 12, 9 to 13. You have on the back of your sheets, just to let you know that there's some follow-up questions, and you can see right there, number one on the back of your sheet, do you love what Christ loved? How does this impact how you view the church? Number two, can we say we love Christ's bride, but not love the people in the church? What makes a church a compelling community, attractive, and what role do you play? Please spend time this week looking at those questions. Here we go, Romans 12, 9 to 13. Let me read it again. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in prayer, in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. I was reading a pastor telling the story. He was in somewhere in Asia where it was illegal to be a Christian. He was gathered with 20 church leaders in a little hut somewhere, protected at night, about 20 people there, to learn the Bible together. This pastor had come from the United States to minister to these people. They all gathered, and every time they say, the way the story goes, every time they would hear a noise, people go, what could the noise be? Are we finally found out? Are they going to catch us? They were there at dark, and most of them were tired because some of them had to walk the entire day just to be in this room, even knowing, though, it very possibly could cost them their lives. And as the study started, a man got up and he said, this is so difficult here. He said, I'm losing members of my little church. I'm losing them to the cults. They're kidnapping our members. And they're forcing him by torture, in some cases, cutting tongues out, and on, because they're professing to follow Christ. Others shared this similar story. And when they started praying, and they prayed for about an hour, and this pastor says there was puddles of tears everywhere in this room because of the pain of loving the church in difficult circumstances. But they were willing to pay all the costs, no matter whatever it took, to be there. And one pastor stood up and he said to the American pastor, please help us. We don't know how to worship in these kind of circumstances. We don't know what to do. Another pastor says, I need help. I don't know how to administer mercy and kindness when people are being kidnapped and murdered for their faith. But they gather together at all cost. Why? Because of love for him and love for the church. It would be easy to love Christ and stay in their houses and be quiet. Instead, they chose to love the church because the church is the bride of Christ. Now, let's look at just a few things here that we can learn. By the way, there's a lot more in other passages. As I said, 50 one another's, or 50 more than that. But you'll see a couple here, these one another's in verse 10. Love one another. Goes on to say, outdo one another. So you see this phrase, one another, and this idea of how do you have a church family if you're not together. People even this week having conversations telling me their church is wherever they are, outdoors, at their house, on a volleyball court, on a golf course. That's church to me, they say. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Church is the gathered assembly of God's people, gathered together, desiring to be a church, preaching faithfully the word of God, giving the dramatical pictures of the gospel through baptism and the Lord's Supper, loving one another. So let's roll through these rather quickly. Number one, how we love the bride. Number one, under your point, number two, love, be genuine. This is not like when the police officer gives you a ticket and you smile back very nicely, thank you, officer. And then the officer goes away and you go, I hope something happens to that guy. By the way, thankfully, Jen and Matt Denny had all the Baltimore County police officers leave Perry Hall on Friday night. Did you know she did that? This was kind. All Baltimore County police officers were asked to leave the community because we had a road, I want to call it road rage. It was a scavenger hunt, and it was unbelievable. If you're a couple, you missed it. This is how good it was and how much fun we had, and saw the competitive nature of people, and the winners were hyper competitive. We won't get into all that. And there was some coercion on extra points that they somehow got out of the Hardings. Chris and Suzanne did a phenomenal job. I mean, A++, guys. Tracy Ham on Chip the judge, that's his job. Tracy taking care of the food, phenomenal. This is how we one way, simple way, we're loving each other. But boy, was it fun. And I purposely lost because I'm the pastor. And it wouldn't have been right if I would have won. So we even put the wrong answers down a few times. Jen. Love must be genuine. I love Perry Hall Baptist Church. Do you really love the people here? The church is just not brick and mortar, folks. That's not even what it is. The church is all the saints that make up Perry Hall Baptist Church. This is his called out assembly. Do you really love? You say, I love the people at Perry Hall, but I don't like them. And you feel really holy because you said you love, but you don't like. I wonder how that fits into genuine love. Or maybe God's calling us to be genuine, to be sincere, that we're going to love people no matter what their flaws, no matter what the sin. So let it be sincere. Let it be pure. Second one, number two, let it be pure. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. I don't have time to take this into heavy detail, but just to say this, may the bride be pure. May all of us take that heavy responsibility on ourselves that this church would be a pure bride for Christ as he is sanctifying us. Number three. This is all one. Love one another with brotherly affection. The love that started this section off when we're talking about the love of Christ for his church is agape. But in verse 10, we move from Philadelphia love in verse 10, first word, Philadelphia, and we move to a compound word with brotherly love, and it uses the word for Greek for love, philos or phila or philia, and storge, two in one. This is what that means, folks. This is good. We're to love one another, yes, with agape love, but we're to love each one of us is to love the other with a friendly, brotherly, family love. Friendly type, brotherly type, family love. How we doing? Are you loving everybody in this church that you get to meet? Everybody that you get to hang out with? Everybody that you may do small group with or serve together? Are you loving with that kind of a love? That's number three. Honoring, number four. It's an honoring love. Outdo one another in showing honor. This would be respect. This would be deferential love. This would be, listen, this would be elevating others above yourself. See Philippians 2, 1 to 8. Elevating others above yourselves. Show honor, respect. Verse 11, 1, 2, 3, 4. Verse 11, number 5. Be fervent in spirit, not slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Some of your notes may say be fervent in the spirit, but here's what it really means in the Greek. It's the word fervent means burning, burning. You could translate this as R. Kent Hughes does, aglow with the spirit of God, aglow. So here's this other part about not only do we love genuinely, and not only do we love with honor, and not only do we love purely, and not only do we love with a family love, but we love in a burning way, aglow with the Spirit. Folks, love one another with a burning desire for their good and God's glory. Next one. Rejoicing love, a joyful love, and we'll be quick here, that is patient in tribulation in all circumstances, a love that is constant in prayer. So there's a rejoicing love. Two more, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints. That's why I drew your attention there before the missions moment, to help out with the needs of the church, we love so much, we just give what we have to take care of one another. We start here, and then we move outward. We start upward, we look inward, and we run outward. Upward is this follows how our church values, our foundational values. You should know them by heart. To love God supremely, number one. To love one another passionately, number two. Number three, to love our neighbors, lost people, intentionally. And so you see here this idea of giving to this. This is of your talent, your time, your treasures, your testimony. To use it, to steward those things so that you can love one another and that there would never be an unmet need in this church. That's why we just recently upped the benevolence funds and we're building that fund up because of so many needs to help people. To be generous and to do it joyfully, cheerfully. The last one here about how we show our love is in verse 13 at the end. Not only to contribute to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality. Some of your Bibles should show, I think, practice. Anybody have practice there? Practice, a few of you, practice hospitality. This is an awesome word. Because if I said to you all, practice hospitality, what comes to mind? You invite people over, or you go out with them, or you find ways to connect and to be hospitable, to be caring, to care for needs and all that. This word means to pursue, practice, show. Both of those words are fine, but what it means is pursue, and not only does it mean to pursue with hospitality, it says to do it strenuously. Maybe said another way, it doesn't mean wait for people to come to you so you can be hospitable. Go after them that have needs. To pursue the needy. To pursue those in this church and then as a collective out of this church to pursue those that are in need. It's funny, I chose to save one of Jesus's demonstrations of his love to be the last one I'm going to mention. It's not here in the text here. What is? I'll go back to it. The way that the scripture describes Jesus's heart attitude in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, jot that down, Hebrews 12, 2, is when he went to the cross, it says he went joyfully. He went out of love for us. Joyfully. I save that because I want you to end on this note. Our love, our genuine love, our pure love, our friendly, family-like love, our honoring love, our rejoicing love, our fervent, passionate love, our generous love, our serving love, if I didn't say that one, and then our hospitable love will be done joyfully. To quote Don Whitney with his question from his book, do I love the bride, the church? Do I delight in the bride? Folks, I need each one of you, please just be honest with yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine your hearts. This is not a beatdown. This is an encouragement, yes, with an exhortation. Do I delight in the bride here at Perry Hall Baptist Church, this local outpost for the glory of God? Do I delight in it? Or are you more like the Lone Ranger? I come every Sunday, I'll never miss, but you'll never see me again till the following Sunday. Is that genuine love? Is that brotherly family love? How could that be serving love? How could that be joyful? How could it be? Well, I'll send some checks in. Well, goody two shoes for you. As if the Lord needs his money. You give because it already belongs to him. You're not giving your money. It's his money, and you're giving back what belongs to him. That takes care of the giving piece. We can't wait to give more. We actually want to change our budget and our lifestyles to give more. That's not Pastor Dave Moyer at Perry Hall telling you to give. That is the scripture telling you this is how we worship. And then we practice I give my money, I'm not here. Folks, so let me say it as positively as I can. If you're not involved in the community of this church and you're living distance, first and foremost, it's hurting you. You are not benefiting from the wonderful, glorious ways God intended for you to be cared for. And you've made up some idea that you can do okay on your own. It's not how God intended it. In closing, look at verse 4. For as in one body, we have many members, all equal. But the members do not have the same functions. We're not all hands, we're not all feet, noses, eyes, ears. We're all different. So we're equal, but we have a different function. But boy, are we united. So we, verse 5, many though many, are one body in Christ, and he is the head. And we're individually members of one another. And then he goes on to say we've been gifted. Folks, as of today, March 30th, everything that God needs for us today, every resource, both financial, material, talent, skill, spirit, everything we need to be the church at Perry Hall that God intended us is here today. Maybe not in this room, maybe they can't make it. But this church, because whatever God wants to accomplish through us, he will indeed provide. But if you or I choose to withhold my role, my gift, my part in the local church, then I have missed the blessing, I've been disobedient, and maybe even more serious, there is a sign of spiritual neglect and spiritual unhealthiness in your life because you think that this is now, some of you, not all, most of you not, that this has become church in the world is a consumer-driven church. I don't know if you know that. Sadly, that is partly true, is not? Here's the problem. If Perry Hall would give in to making Perry Hall a consumer-driven church where we do everything we can to bring people in. By the way, you know what we do to bring people in? We preach the word and we love people in many different ways. We do not pretend to be something we're not. We do not try to entertain, at least foremost in front of our eyes. That's not what we're doing. We're being faithful to what God says the church looks like, and we'll let him bring the increase, right? Amen? But we're called to be a part of that. And folks, if all these things are true, and we're not living out our part, then this church is not operating at full capacity. Oh, God will do what he's going to do. But you are missing it. You're disobedient to his call. And so my plea to the families here at Perry Hall, members and regular attenders, let's love the bride. With the power of his spirit working in us, let's love his church here at Perry Hall. And all of the ways we just discussed will be evident. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this part of your word. May you be honored to apply it. Father, may you do something special in each of our minds and hearts this morning. Father, for those of us who have invested everything into the church, Father, that we love the church. Continue to give us that love, grow that love. Father, but it may be it for your glory. For those that love the church but are struggling to commit to live within the life of the church as a family, I pray, Father, that you'd impress upon their heart that this is the family you put them in, and you have a vital role for them, and there's a purpose for them to be here. And Father, together, collectively, we worship you. We faithfully preach your word. We love one another, and we love lost people. Father, would you do something special that the testimony of Perry Hall Baptist Church would be aglow in fervency with the Spirit, so that it would indeed be a testimony to visitors and to family of our members and to our neighbors and to our community. May they see the Spirit aglow as we burn with fervency and genuine love and honoring love and brotherly family love and pure love and a contributing love and a hospitable love. But most of all, may they see it not because we have to, but because we want to and get to. It is a willful delight to love your bride, because you do. And we want to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.
The Bible. Folks, call us, reach out to us, let us know how you can be a part if you're not already. If you are, thank you so much, but don't miss out on what it's like to be a part of a thriving family as we run after Christ together. You know, sometimes prayer requests come in between Wednesdays, so let me just real quickly tell you of a few things that are going on. Number one, longtime members, the Turners. Judy is in the hospital. She's got some blood clotting. There's some other serious things they're looking at. So please keep Judy in your prayers and Jerry as he cares for her. Dale Canatella's son, JD, fell off of a roof. Serious injury to his hand. Seems like he may also have some pelvic breaks. So please be in prayer for JD Canatella. I'm glad to see my dear friend Jim Bannister here. He had some difficulties this week that were very serious and some blood clotting, some other concerns. He's been a believer just over a year, and he sent me a note and said, Pastor, I'm resting and I'm glad the Lord got me when he did. But he's here today and we're grateful to see Jim. And last one, our brother Fred Dyer, Gail's and Andy's dad. Fred Dyer's in the hospital with complications to heart failure. Keep all those folks in prayer until we can let you know more. And then last thing is an announcement. If you are 65 and older, or you think you are, there's a meeting in the Coffee Connection right behind us. Sally Myers will be leading. This is the ambassadors. I'm getting the name. Isn't there a slide for this? No slide for this? I'm probably messing the whole thing up. Oh, look at that. Senior Ambassadors Joy Group. And so that's meeting back there. Hey, let's pray, guys. Boy, I hope you're feeling this even a little bit of a push. Oh, Lord, I love you, and I want to love what you love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time. Be glorified in our words. Father, but be glorified as we're not just hearers, but doers. May you continue to develop this church into the church you want it to be. And Father, may you be glorified to exalt your own name through this church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.